This hour of the Weekly Roundup is brought to you by Sportsman's Bar and Grill.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Horovitz here. Happy to be here with you today. Weekly Roundup, end of eight, another busy week. Angela's here with me to, I don't know if we're recapping things. We have a bunch of new items here. I do want to start a new segment. It's called What's the Media Hyping Today? I think I could do that one. I should just do that every day of the show and see how long I can go, because there's always something. The interesting one here that you brought to my attention, because we spent some time debating this a couple weeks ago, talking about the potential for us to travel overseas this upcoming spring, like March or something, because our older daughter may do an exchange program somewhere, maybe in Greece. And I said, well, I've always wanted to go to Dubai, and I want to see those buildings. I want to see this city that over 40 years has just popped up. And you were a little bit whiny. You're like,
whiny?
You're like, I don't want to go there because... I'm sorry, did I say that out? That was an internal thought.
I didn't say I didn't want to go there. I just said, I don't know how they treat women there.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel just a tad bit uncomfortable, not only me being a woman, but thinking about bringing our teenage daughter and our 20-year-old daughter there.
Yeah, and I said, okay, me and Owen, and Mark Howitt said he'd come along.
I know,
along.
And I said,
so we're like,
oh,
we're
fine,
just going to go on over there.
I'll go somewhere else.
I mean, we just want to stare at buildings, basically.
Yeah, and, see, and like we did that in Hong Kong, and I was just like, okay, enough.
Not your thing.
And Jeff's like, oh, look at that. And that is, he just likes that, which is fine. But
I find it impressive. I think Dubai is an impressive story.
Okay, I will admit that.
This is like
the architecture there and what they've been able to defy.
This was like a little hick town. Yeah. By, you know, if we put it in American standards, that grew up in 40 years and became one of the world cities at this point. Yeah. And so many people are going there, moving there, vacationing there. And apparently a Houston woman has been there for 2 months. She has an extended vacation. And the media here in America is claiming, and around the world, that she's in jail because she was yelling.
Right.
And whenever I hear that, I'm like, okay, there's probably more to the story.
Well, that's exactly what I said, because my mom told me about this about 2 weeks ago, actually, when we were sitting in Iowa. Just eating breakfast and
yelling
and
at your car rental
she goes,
place.
Yeah, it's something like she got in trouble for yelling or raising her voice. And I said, no, there's got to be more to it than that.
Okay.
But I never really looked into it after that discussion. But then today I saw the headline that she's still there.
Okay. But let's go over that real quick because we've got a couple of articles. Before I do that, though, I'll mention our first great sponsor today here, and that's Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona. Been on the show with us for 3 years now because so many of you have been calling them up and saying, hey, I want this gutter protection system, the number one gutter protection system out there to deflect all the pine needles, all the debris, make it so you don't have to go up on that roof anymore. Over 50,000 feet installed in Arizona, 80 million feet installed throughout the U.S. Gutter Helmet has over 40 years of experience. The best manufacturer's lifetime transferable warranty out there on performance and materials. Hey, call or text Carl, the Gutter Helmet man, right now. Tell him you heard it right here on the show. You get a great discount when you mention the Jeff Horovitz Show. Call Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona or text 928-318-6555. That's 928-318-6555. Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona, 928-318-6555. Okay, so the person who was detained, and according to the police in Dubai, they put out a statement saying that they're denying the claims. They're saying that this was a dispute. She's saying they got into an accident in a rental car. Mm-hmm. And then there was a report on a Houston news station that one of the family members, like, she's being detained because she was yelling and this is a theocracy and this is blah, 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 going on and on. And I'm thinking, okay, I hope she's not detained simply for yelling. Was she being a boisterous TikTok influencer, arrogant type of
American person.
She's a TikTok, one of these TikTok influencers known as Sassy Trucker on the social media platform. I don't know what happened. None of us do, I guess, but she did get arrested, detained, and I guess they took her passport and and credit cards and this and that. And I don't know how she's living at this point because she's still there from what I'm reading.
Yeah, it's not clear.
It's kind of unclear.
Like, is she in jail or is she just being...
Yeah, but they're denying they're denying the allegations that it was because of merely yelling. They're saying she was defaming this person, and you know they're painting it as she basically was going berserk at the car rental company, which I don't find, you know, that's definitely possible sometimes,
right,
especially TikTok influencers. But in general, there's an arrogance that goes on sometimes,
especially with that generation and like the TikTok influencer type, because they can throw a fit over here in America and really nothing happens. It just goes viral somewhere and they think it's great.
But you throw
a fit over there and, you know.
I think it's a little extreme if you hold some, if it's just something like that. I mean, if it got physical, which it doesn't seem to be, or violent, or that's one thing. It's probably a bit extreme. And I think you'll, with all the media presence out there on this story, she'll probably be released and sent packing pretty quick because they're like, this is kind of a headache. But Dubai reminds me of what Singapore was and is now a lesser degree, which you remember back in the 90s, they came to become one of the great, almost like a city state throughout in the world. One of the richest nations, this small area that's just basically a city, has become one of the wealthiest nations on the planet. But they had a very strict laws there. You couldn't, if you chewed gum, if you stuck gum somewhere, you would get like caned. Remember? I think some Americans went over there.
Yeah, I remember that.
In the 90s, early 2000s, and they got into trouble. I would advise this, be very mellow when you're overseas in someone else's country. Their rules, their laws, their whole existence is different. It's different. If they are a theocracy, as they are over there, although Dubai is quite a bit less strict than most of the Middle East from what I've read. I've never been there, but I think I will be there at some point here soon. You got to go understanding that this ain't my country. You know, you can whine and gripe and know things in your own country. It's like when people come over here, especially people come over illegally and this and that, and then they're like, oh, I want this, and the other thing. It's like, it's not your country.
Right.
So I would advise be cautious. And be very low-key.
You consider that, you know, I've chosen to go there.
Yeah.
So I've done my research. I know their customs. I know there's laws against shouting, name-calling, profanity, insulting other people. There's laws against that there. Yeah. So you can't do that.
So you should know before you go.
Exactly.
And especially you were like, hey, Dubai, red flags going off for me as a woman. And I'm going to be very cautious if I go there. And now you're probably like, no way, because probably going to yell at some point.
I don't plan on defaming anyone, and I don't plan on shouting at anyone. Yeah. But I was telling you, like, what happens if someone tries to grab my purse or something? Like, my first instinct might be to yell at them. I'm not a yeller, but still, if something happened like that.
Yeah, but they're saying she wasn't arrested for yelling.
I think that there's more to it than
this.
There's
more to this.
Because I think part of it maybe is that the car accident, and then they wanted her to pay for, I'm not sure if there was damages or they wanted her to pay something.
They probably wanted money, and then
she doesn't have
it. I don't know. It's all allegations, but she probably went berserk.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Is there video? A lot of these places have video, release the video, I guess. But I think it's just a warning that if you're going to travel somewhere, especially overseas.
And especially the Middle East.
Yeah.
As a woman, too.
Yeah. You should know going into that, hey, I'm going to a Muslim culture. And there's different, you know, Dubai is probably very liberal compared to, and most people don't go to into Saudi Arabia, for example, or Tehran, so you've got to know where you're going. And, you know, when we went to Egypt, we told the girls, if we go back to Egypt, you're going to be modest. You're going to dress modest. You're not going to wear shorter shorts, even though it might be warmer the time of year we're going. Not quite yet, but we went to a mosque at one point, and you cover up.
Yeah, and when we did that, I brought clothes. Like, I brought capri length or jean length, you know, bottoms, and no sleeveless tops or anything kind of revealing. Or I intentionally packed that way, knowing that we were going to very conservative, and they expect women to be very modest, especially women.
Well, know that, and I would say the push, and in America, we have pushed for this for so long, the nation building that we've tried to do, and we want to, everybody needs to be like America. I don't believe that. I think We are like we are, but if I go to another country, I'm not there to change everything and to join the picket line and, mm-hmm. and start yelling and screaming about everything. That's what gets me so frustrated about how many people come over, like I said, once again, illegal to our country. And all of a sudden it's like, I want this. I want to change that.
Yeah,
I want, it's like,
well,
wait a second. Yeah. You just showed up here 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think so. Go try to do that in another country. Mm-hmm. I would never go to Mexico or Dubai or anywhere and say, oh, you don't have this translated for me in my language, or you can't provide this, that, or the other thing for me. It's a level of arrogance. Now, I don't know. We don't know the whole story.
Right.
But something don't smell right.
It's just because we know how the, quote, TikTok influencers, you know, kind of behave here. Yeah. And what they put out on that site and just the general attitude of influencers.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, put everyone into one category, but, you know, I could see the chip on the shoulder and, you know,
the pictures and stuff.
Whatever it is, and going somewhere else and, you know,
and carrying that with you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's a problem with a lot of people in our country nowadays, but also a lot of people around the world, is everybody's in their own little reality TV show. Mm-hmm. They all think they're stars, or they're about to be stars. They're all, I mean, I've seen people, and especially younger people, and I'm not trying to rip you on this, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, remember when we were in Hawaii, there was a guy in the waterfall with his selfie stick.
Yeah.
And the guy's there for a half an hour coming out of the water like Fabio. And
no, we couldn't get a picture without him in the waterfall with his selfie stick.
Dude, how can you stare at yourself that long? I mean, really? I mean, there is a vainness that I think has taken over. And it's like, let me get a picture. And people are like falling off the side of the cliff to do it in the process. So, I like to be a little more low key when I'm in those situations where I'm going. Some, not here. I'm pretty, you may get yelled at the but it's different. It's different when you're in your own country. Although I'd say restraint would be a little better.
Well, I recall us, you in particular, yelling at a rental car lady in Paris.
Oh,
because the car broke down and then we're stranded on the side of the road. And the police came and picked us up. And then we went to the police station and we're sitting there waiting. And they were like, they didn't know what to do with us because our car didn't work. And we didn't have anywhere to go.
Yay.
And so then the police finally decided to take us to the airport.
They just took us to Orly Airport.
They just said, well, get in the car. We're going to, you know, we didn't even know where they were taking us. Next thing we know, we're at the airport.
At the airport.
They just dump us off there.
Well, in fairness.
So we were trying to get another car or trying to deal with the broken down car.
Yeah.
And the lady didn't want to really like give us another one.
No, she didn't want to, she didn't want to do anything.
And then Jeff's like, well, I'm not paying for it. And then they're like, yes, you are. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'll dispute it on my card and all this stuff. And I think you yelled at her a lot.
Well, I don't know if I yelled too much, but
okay. Raised your voice.
First of all, we get a rental car that has like 20 miles.
Yeah,
it's a brand new rental car.
50 kilometers.
We go a few miles. It breaks down on the side of the freeway. You know the area in Paris that you see that's usually in flames and they're rioting and protesting? It's like right there in that neighborhood, right? And fortunately, the tourist police came by. They have tourist police there.
Yeah.
But it's not like.
They did help us.
They were great. They
up.
Were very friendly, absolutely did an excellent job. And like Angela said, they dropped us off at Paris Orly Airport and they're like, let's just take him to this car rental place. You know,
they
didn't speak English, so I really don't, or it's very broken. And I'm there just kind of like, really, this car broke down? And she's like, we're not doing anything for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're not your car broke down. And finally, I just said, I'm going to dispute it. I just tossed the keys down and walked away. And we went and booked a flight and went to Spain.
Yeah.
That was our time in Paris.
Yeah.
And then she acted like she didn't speak English. And then I heard her speaking English to the next person. Okay, so maybe I would be detained in Dubai. Maybe that's what happened to this girl.
Yeah,
I take it all back.
Right?
She's like,
the car broke down.
Yeah, the car. Your
she's
piece
like, give
of
me
junk
car
broke down.
They're like, no. And she's the one getting detained.
You never know. There's two sides to every story.
Yeah.
There's like three sides to every story at least. It's like a coin. There's not two sides. There's three. So anyway, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff. And do you know what I'm talking about with the coin?
No.
There's three sides to a coin.
No, there's not. Well, like the little thin part of it. Yeah.
That's one of the sides.
Okay.
You look at it a little different. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Does it change my decision that I want to go stare at the big buildings in Dubai? No. am I maybe going alone at this point? Perhaps. Am I going to rent a car? Probably not.
No.
Hey, if you want to save some on your electric bills, I strongly encourage you to call the Blind Brothers. That's what Angela and I did. We got all new blinds in our home in Flagstaff, and man, the Blind Brothers did an excellent job for us. They came in, measured everything, went through all of our options, laid everything out for us. We were like, hey, here's the blinds we want. It came on back, and you know, it wasn't that long afterwards. They brought the new ones in. They got rid of, and I don't know if they jettisoned the 1990s blinds that we had up there and got us some modern-looking, great blinds that keep the heat out and keep the cold air out in the winter as well. Call the Blind Brothers, great Northern Arizona company that can help get you all new blinds, shutters, and shades. And mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, you can get up to half off of installation for the installation as well. Do your neighbors a favor, call the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423. That's the Blind Brothers at 928-634-2423, or go to theblindbrothers.com.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
If you get a rock chip in your windshield, you know, that's when the rock comes up from the road and it causes that indention, that chip out of the shield before it starts spreading. Don't let it spread, because then you're going to need a whole new windshield. I want you to call Diamond Auto Glass first. Don't call your insurance company. Don't make a claim, because most of these places, they're running it through a nationwide glass shop. They're letting them answer their phones, and of course, that's where they're going to send you, and that may cause delays and may take a lot longer to replace your windshield. Now, when you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible, right on 4th Street in Flagstaff. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading. It's going to save you from a costly windshield replacement. Done that before. We got a rock chip when we were pretty far away from Flagstaff on one of our big road trips, and by the time we got back to Flagstaff, is pretty much, you know, spider webbed all across. Diamond Auto Glass got us a whole new windshield, though. And by the way, now if I get a rock chip in my windshield, and this will pertain to you as well, you have coverage. You have chip repair warranty going forward. No appointment needed. Just stop on by. Most repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show.
That picture doesn't look very good. You got the semi-truck. This is right here in northern Arizona. I got the article at the Daily Sun. Went off of... Where is that? Naval Observatory Road, so west Flagstaff.
Kind of as you're coming here from Williams.
Yeah.
Okay.
It happened at... early in the morning, 5:30 or something
like
that. It kind of went off, yeah, right near that bridge, that overpass, and then went and 30 feet down. I guess there's two drivers in there. Fortunately, didn't hit anybody else and didn't go into the... There must be a road. There's that road, Naval Observatory Road, right under there. It doesn't look like it actually hit that area. And the two people were taken out. One had not too serious injuries, which, looking at the semi, you'd think it's amazing. That there wasn't serious injuries for the one passenger. The other passenger was more serious, so I don't have an update on that.
Did they say why? Like, was it a deer?
No, I didn't get anything. 5:30 in the morning. No,
were they driving all night? Fell asleep.
I have no idea. I'd be speculating at this point. Huh. You know, it could be a deer, could be tired, could be who the heck knows? Tire blue. No idea. All I know is that it went over there and they had to get rushed to the Flagstaff Medical Center. On the note of the Flagstaff Medical Center, just to review an item that did hit this week, the hospital group, is taking the folks who brought the petition. It's currently labeled Prop 480 in Flagstaff to oppose the rezone to build the big new hospital out there at Fort Tut Hill. Right there by the Flagstaff Airport, right? So that they're taking the group that went out and got the signatures. What is it called? Flagstaff First, I think, something like that. And let me get the name right. Hang on a second. It's coming here. Yeah. Oh, Flagstaff Community First. They're the group that went out and got a bunch of signatures to change what the council did. The council did a rezone for that private property out there so the hospital can build this like billion-dollar facility and move it from downtown Flagstaff. This group went out, got signatures, put it on the ballot. The hospital is now taking them to court, at least, saying that the way they presented it to get people to sign the petitions, they were, you know, putting wrong information out there, whatever. There's more legal terms than I'm using right now, but which I talked about earlier in the week. That's a tough one to.
It's hard to prove.
That's a tough one to prove. Yeah, unless they have, maybe they have something like written, maybe they have literature, maybe they have something on tape. I don't know, but I've seen judges in the past that are pretty. You got to convince them pretty hardcore that something nefarious or whatever was happening. So I expect we'll see it on the ballot. But this one's going to be. For lack of a better word, this is going to be pretty bloody as far politically speaking, because you got a big group that wants to, you know, this big facility. You got another group that's gotten a lot of signatures.
And it reminds me of some of the other buildings in town. Walmart, the student housing ones, some of those bigger ones.
Well, I mentioned this with the, and I'm trying to, I want to get the hospital group on it. We have sent out multiple requests out to Flagstaff Community First, the one that got the signatures. Isabel's working on scheduling those.
Yeah,
folks
she
right
knows
now.
Someone involved with that.
Well, I hope she can connect with
a former teacher of hers.
Okay, because I would love to get them on to hear what the reasoning is. But I did mention this when we were down at the Marco's Pizza downtown there, and we were walking around. We were cheap, so we parked around the corner by that church. So we didn't have to pay the $1 parking or whatever. And there's this big student housing project over there kind of by, what is that, like the old Muffler place. And, you know, they built that big, what was it called? The Standard or something. The hub. And I remember when I was on council, someone brought me to that neighborhood and brought me in their house and said how this was going to ruin it and all these homes are going to be gone. It's just gentrified and blah, blah, blah. It's all. And I walked down there. It's like you barely notice the thing.
Yeah.
And it didn't ruin anything. I think after these things are built, you're just like, it just becomes... Well, your house was built at some point, or your building was built at some point.
Yeah.
The Walmart was a big deal. Can't put a Walmart. Can't do this.
It's too big.
It's too big. And now it's there. And I don't know if it really impacts your life as much.
Yeah, you know, it is hard, though, because we've got development going around close to where we live that was always open, well, quote-unquote open space. It belonged to someone.
It's private property,
You know, it was open until now. And there's a lot going on. And it's like, you know, one... project
That's
more
on
roads and
Butler Avenue on Butler. They're building like a six-story monster
and it's hard to be like, oh man, like why, you know, because that's just normal to feel that you don't want it to change. You like it the way it is, but then you got to think, well, my house, you know, used to be trees where my house was too, and the neighbor's house used to be all trees there too, so
it's like tough one.
It's natural to feel that way, but you're right. In the end, you know, you just get used to it and it just becomes normal.
That's on Butler Avenue in Flagstaff, and they've got those high rises. They're like 5 stories or something.
There's a new, like a big complex, like I think, for senior living. And then now there's all these little homes going all over.
Yeah, there's little, like, they look like little boxes.
They're like 3 stories, but
they're
really.
A bunch of little boxes there. Yeah. I'd like to see a little more character. Sometimes you look at them and you're like, ugh. All right. If you're thinking maybe they're developing that lot right next to you that's been there for a long time, you're like, that's it. I got to sell. Hey, why don't you call Kelly Broaddus with Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. She's got tons of experience that'll help you sell that home so you can get on out, moving on down the road and do your next thing. Maybe it's just moving across town. Maybe it's downsizing. Maybe it's upsizing. You know, she can help you with all that because she's got a full team of dedicated professionals that'll be with you every step of the way from list to close. And if you want to find out the valuation of your home right now, go to NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. That's NorthernArizonaFineHomes.com. Click on home valuation and your address. You get a reply in just a few seconds, give you a really good estimate on what your home's value is at. Or call Kelly Broaddus at 888-446-5602. More to come. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.
This hour of the show is brought to you by Nova Home Loans.
You're listening to the Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome back. As Angela and I wrap up a really busy week, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com, although all we've gotten through is Dubai, trucks. What was the other one?
Development.
Oh, the hospital. Yeah, there is more, though. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Okay, what is the media hyping today? I'm going to try to do this every day. I think I can find something. Well, of course they're hyping this. Well, it'll be the same every day. It's the climate change.
The heat.
Yeah, it's a climate change. And when it gets colder, it'll be, well, that was caused because of climate change. I love studying history. I'm kind of on a, you know, before recorded history little stint right now where I'm trying to read back onto, you know, the Stone Age period and this and that. But you look back on the length of time that humans have been on this earth and the length of time that we actually have recorded history, which isn't very long. I mean, you're talking 5,000 years-ish, depending on, you know, when you're talking about being able to read something and record things. I mean, beyond putting pictures on caves and things like that, where you're not really getting temperature readings.
Yeah.
Right. And things, oh, this was five hands heat. Yeah. You know, or there was four hands heat today, and you don't know what, you know, how to scale that to your current system, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so we don't have a long period to look at. I mean, okay, we're going to look at tree rings and this and that, but you look back and you see, okay, it wasn't that long ago, 10,000 years, 12,000 years. There was a 5,000 foot high sheet of ice throughout the northern hemisphere, from the ice age.
Yeah.
And then it, over a period of hundreds of years, maybe a couple thousand, it all melted and rose to sea levels like 400 feet. This wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. So I think it's back to, you know, the car rental place and just the level of arrogance, but whole other story there. But a level of arrogance that we think we know so much. I think we know a lot less than we actually do.
Yeah.
About the climate, about our history even, and there's the things you don't know. So these people that hype this all the time and say, it's hotter than ever. It's this, it's that. It's like, what? Ever? It really frustrates me, the hype that they're pushing. Well, then you got this UN, the head of the UN, just a climate change alarmist to the largest degree, bigger than a woolly mammoth walking around. This guy is just hyping it up and hyping it up. And by the way, why do we even have this organization with all these bureaucrats, all these people that try to, you know, say they're doing good around the world and they just show up in their Mercedes Benz and, you know, they just suck the money out of all of us. How much money does this cost us, the UN?
Probably don't want to know.
You don't want to know. Well, anyway, here's what he had to say. Climate change is from the blaze. Climate change is here. It is terrifying. UN Chiefs refers to global boiling. Why peddling climate alarmist agenda? Global boiling. We're all like the little crawdads being thrown into the pot. Mm-hmm. Tails curled. Done.
Turning red.
Snack. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres. Wow, where'd that come from? Promoted the, I loved it. Wasn't he in a recent movie? Did we see him in something?
Oh, we did. Yeah. What was that?
I don't remember. Anyway, it wasn't Antonio Guterres, who's the Secretary General, promoted the climate alarmism agenda during remarks on Thursday, last night, using the term global boiling during his speech. It's terrifying. It's just the beginning, he warned. The era of global warming has ended, he asserted. The era of global boiling has arrived. Dun, dun, dun. The air is...
Because global warming isn't scary enough anymore because we've heard it every day. So now we need to make it worse by...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're a 29... Phase. Okay, you're a 29-year-old TikTok influencer and you're like, yeah, this is all so new. Now, you're me and Angela's age and maybe some of you out there, maybe even older, and you're like... Wow, they've really been whining about this for a long time. This is nothing new. Remember Al Gore, the hockey stick? It's going to, and all of a sudden Florida's underwater. And we're all like, okay, a little off on those predictions. But if you're young, you're like, oh yeah, my professor told me that. You know, let me put it on TikTok, which uses, I don't know how much electricity in those big servers and all that, right? On my device that's created from all kinds of rare earth elements and this and that, right? Anyway, so yeah, we've entered the era of global boiling. The air is unbreathable. It's unbreathable. It's the air. Here's the General Secretary of the United Nations telling people, and millions of people just buy, yes, I agree. It's unbreathable. Let me get my mask on.
Okay. I've got my mask on, so now we can continue. The air is unbreathable, and the heat is unbearable.
You believe these people?
You're cracking me up.
I mean, but the sad thing, this is a guy, and thanks to Rob Wilson for the National Shooting Sports Month for August. He gave me this little towel, which I think is, it might be from a sweat I'm having right now. Whew,
I'm boiling.
I think this is to put your handgun on and keep that handgun far away from me right now because, geez, the air of global boiling has arrived. The air is unbreathable.
Well, maybe where they live, because there are pollution problems in some, you know, especially big cities.
Go to Beijing.
But the vast majority, Mexico City. Yeah. I mean, tons of them.
Yeah, you are correct. Yeah. And where's their perspective?
Right.
Because I can tell you, I ain't having problems breathing.
No.
The air is breathable here. The air is breathable anywhere I go in northern Arizona. Even that despicable-looking brown cloud that I have to stick my body into as I'm driving into Phoenix. And you're like, oh, I got to go into that.
Yeah.
I'm still breathing and surviving in that. But yeah, a place like Beijing, look at London in the 1800s, 1900s. Literally, people were suffering because of all the coal they used. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a real problem. That was a problem in most U.S. cities until the good old catalytic converter came in and we stopped using lead and gasoline and things like that. And the smog in the cities has diminished to an extreme level in this country because of advancements in other cities. Beijing's going to get it eventually. Mm-hmm. Other cities will do that. But the level of irresponsibility here for somebody who holds the position of United Nations Secretary General to say the air is unbreathable, it's just irresponsible. Mm-hmm. And it creates fear and alarmism in very gullible people, of which there apparently is billions.
A lot.
I mean, there's more than I ever imagined. I mean, I'm still going out to the store and seeing young people wearing masks. Last night we were out at a Safeway. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Maybe because they heard this guy talking, saying it's unbreathable.
Well, you never know. Like, if they're walking around with an oxygen tank or something, okay, yeah, I could see the mask on. But most of these people aren't, so why?
Why? And you mentioned, like, oxygen. I can see you live in a city that has pollution and you have a breathing problem, things like that. It's going to make it worse, and that pollution can be bad. But these are local problems. They act like it's everywhere. And I said this yesterday and I don't know if you listened to the show yesterday. I thought it was a good show with Rob Wilson. We talked about a story that hit on the Navajo Nation that Richard from Indian Wells shared with us, a couple news sources out there reporting on it, in which the Biden administration, was it Chaco? I can't remember the name.
I think it was.
In New Mexico, like between Albuquerque and Farmington, an area that's preserved that's I've never been to, but sounds, I don't think I've been to it. It sounds beautiful. But the federal government went in and created a 10-mile buffer around the already protected area. And Navajo Nation is like, wait a second, we have like hundreds of millions of dollars worth of, I think it's oil, gas up there, minerals, things like that, that we could mine out over the next 20 years. Mm-hmm. Can we make this 5 miles? So President Nygren of Navajo Nation went before Congress, a subcommittee, and said, hold on a second.
Yeah.
You know, what are you doing here? We're supposed to be a sovereign nation. We're supposed to have the rights to our land and this and that. And federal government comes in and says no. And believe me, a lot of these politicians on the Navajo Nation are not exactly the most conservative people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot of Democrats. So he's going before and saying, what did you do, Biden administration?
Yeah.
So then you got arrogant Ocasio-Cortez, congresswoman from the Bronx or whatever, supposedly, in the middle of New York, in the middle of a concrete jungle, who sits there and basically tells the Navajo Nation that, you know, you got to do it. I'm paraphrasing, but you got to do it the better way. This is dirty. You can't be doing this. Mm-hmm. We got to invest into your communities, which translated means, the taxpayers need to, you know, you need handouts.
Handing over money.
Yeah. Don't, here's a way you can have $200 million worth of revenues and jobs and, you know, all that comes with it, investment. And no, don't worry. We'll take care of you because we don't want that dirty oil and dirty gas and this and that. So the level of arrogance with these people is astounding every day.
And it's a area that's already protected. So why do you need more? What is their reasoning for needing more? I wonder. I should look into this because I don't know.
You look into it more, but they always do that. They're trying to do that around the Grand Canyon. They always want to expand the size of the areas that the federal government controls.
Yeah, just east of Flagstaff, Walnut Canyon. And you drive in there and it's like, it's 5 miles before you hit the canyon.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is the national,
National Monument. Yeah.
And it takes at least five, I mean, probably more than
that. It's a couple miles getting in there.
Getting in there.
Yeah. Well,
and it's like the area you want to preserve is the canyon. And okay, a little bit around it, but do you really need miles?
Yeah, and miles. Well, and if they could, they would go miles more. They always want more. A funny story about Walnut Canyon. You know, they have like the big slash piles that they put up to thin. Uh-huh. And on the other side of the fence, on the monument side, Walnut Canyon side, I'm looking at all these piles of good juniper, like firewood that, you know, us human beings could actually go get and use to burn and heat our homes and not rely on maybe foreign oil or whatever, natural gas or this and that. Mm-hmm. And they, no, you're not allowed to go in there and get that. So what do? They torch it.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, so that's good for the environment. That's better than me burning it in my wood stove. Yeah.
That's the difference.
And that just goes to show you, it's like sometimes you look at these politicians and the bureaucracies, and it's like they just don't seem to like us. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just kind of a hindrance to them. So anyway, my point
we
of
just
mentioning
get in their way most of the
exactly.
Time,
yeah. My point of mentioning AOC is the level of arrogance as she sits there in an area that it's New York City. It's concrete jungle. She looks out and sees destruction, devastation, forest gone, this and that, and think, and then maybe there's pollution days and this and that, and thinks the rest of the world is living like that. And then you get, I bet you that, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres or whatever, where does he live? Well, that UN building's right there in downtown Manhattan, right? So he looks out and sees the same thing every day. So he actually thinks that the air is unbreathable. Because the air ain't great where he's at.
Yeah.
But that's just a local area. So, yeah, the air is unbreathable. The heat is unbearable. That's the next line here. And the level of fossil fuel profits and climate inaction is unacceptable, he declared. Who are these people?
Yeah.
I mean, how do we let these people laud over us day after day after day after day? Love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right. If the heat is unbearable, was it unbreathable? Let me get this right.
The air is unbreathable.
Well, we're in an era of global boiling. The air is unbreathable and the heat is unbearable. You better get a good HVAC system. I would highly recommend calling my good friends at Gettles High Desert Mechanical to make sure that, first of all, I don't want you to boil, right? Is that the word he used? I don't want you to boil. And I think that Gettles High Desert Mechanical can prevent you from boiling. Call them up and said, Jeff says, hey, we need to get a system that's anti-boiling. And I think that they'll be able to help you out because they've got over 30 years of experience in northern and central Arizona. And especially right now, I know it's still hot out there. It's summertime, so it's still hot. I know a lot of you might be having some issues. You turn it on, you're like, oh, man. It's hot. And then you live in like by the Verde River or something, and it's also humid. Call Gettles High Desert Mechanical. They'll be able to help you out. If you're in the Verde Valley, Sedona and Flagstaff, 928-567-2200. 928-567-2200. Prescott, Tri-City area, 928-772-2751. Or look up Gettles, G-O-E-T-T-L-S. You Google that or whatever you use, G-O-E-T-T-L-S, and you'll get some great service just like they've provided for my family as well. Hang tight. Back in just a minute. Don't boil.
You're listening to The Jeff Horvitz Show.
Car repairs can be stressful. Jeff Horvitz here. And since most shops pay their mechanics a flat rate based on the auto repair, your mechanic can either be racing against the clock or tempted to tack on extra parts. Now, crazy country boys, they don't play that game. And their shop rates are about 30% less. Now, Big Jim makes sure his technicians are not rushing and that you only pay for the parts that you really need. As a TechNet through CarQuest Service Center, all parts and labor are backed by a 24-month, 24,000-mile nationwide warranty. Now, CarQuest, that's another great company in Flagstaff, family-owned auto parts store in Flagstaff, serving you for over half a century. Don't overpay for auto repair or service. Call Big Jim at Crazy Country Boys Services at 928-607-9753. That's 928-607-9753. 928-607-9753. Crazy Country Boys Services, using only CarQuest guaranteed auto parts. Crazy good. Just past the Flagstaff Mall off the East Empire Avenue exit. Welcome back. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. I was going to say, let's end this hour with a happy note, but maybe more of a ridiculous note. This may be like a hold my iced tea, hold my beer moment. You never know what was really going on until you, like months later, where you find out the rest of the story.
Yeah, maybe.
But nobody ever follows up. This is from ABC15. I just have Santa question mark here. Phoenix rescue crews helped free a man who was stuck in a chimney early Friday morning. So apparently, Phoenix Fire Department officials say they were called to a home near 39th Avenue and Camelback Road around 1 a.m. for reports of someone who was stuck inside a chimney flue. A man in his 40s was found to be stuck in the chimney above the damper. So he got pretty...
He went in from the top, from the roof?
I guess, unless he was coming...
From the house.
Yeah, that sounds like what it was, above the damper. And basic rescue crews weren't able to reach him. So a technical rescue team was called in to help. You wondered, like, they call in technical. It's like, oh, yeah, bring in Joe. He's got... getting people out of chimney experience. Yeah. I mean, how often does something like...
Who would think that you could fit down a chimney?
Well, yeah.
I mean, they're not that big.
How'd they get them out? It's like a big thing of Vaseline. Just like lube it up and yank him out. So crews used a harness and rope system. Oh, here we go. No Vaseline mentioned. And breached a wall before finally getting the man out of the chimney. There wasn't much more detail as to motive. Again, I can only speculate... It's only a couple possibilities here at 1 a.m. He's with someone else, like, hey, dude, hold my beer.
Yeah.
I bet you I can climb in. Maybe it was his house. I don't know. I can climb in through the chimney, which is never a good. Nothing ever good happens at 1 a.m. on a, well, this was a Thursday night, but especially a Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
And especially if it's a guy at 1 a.m. usually, although women are doing more and more stupid things too. They're getting right up to par with. You know, the whole women's...
We're getting ourselves detained in Dubai.
Yeah, the whole women's lib thing is actually working out because there's more and more hold my beer moments for women than there ever used to be. But anyway, or you're breaking in.
Yeah, he could have been. Know,
or he could, maybe he thinks he's Santa. I mean, there's a lot of people self-identifying nowadays.
True.
So it could have been like, hey.
Maybe something got stuck Santa. In there. Maybe there's like a baby bird or...
I'm a female bird. It could have been. Yeah, maybe he was helping a baby bird at 1 a.m.
A cat or something.
Maybe he was like, I'm a female Santa that's pregnant and I'm transitioning. I have no idea. Hey, if you want to go out and enjoy some great pizza right now, the Marco's Pizza voted best pizza and wings. You can broil them. Broiled. Is it boiled? We're all boiling or broiling. The Marco's Pizza with great wings, great pizza, also some great craft beers as well. Three locations in Flagstaff. Go get a great pizza. Take your family on out there and do that this weekend. Or just go right now, right? We should go right now. Just skip the second hour.
Yeah, let's go.
Go get some great wings. Yeah. Namarcospizza.com. That's namarcospizza.com. Check that out. You can order online, curbside pickup or delivery. All right. Get your comments in. Love to hear from you. Talkwithjeff@iCloud.com. That's talkwithjeff@iCloud.com.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Jeff Horovitz here with Angela, weekly roundup. I don't know if we're really recapping a lot. We're going over new stuff today. If you're still with us after last hour... I find some of this fascinating, especially the detaining in Dubai. And you pulled up a site. Just a quick recap if you weren't listening. A girl went over there, got into an accident. Some girl from Houston, some TikTok influencer. I think she's like 29 or whatever. And alleges that she got detained and arrested, passport pulled for yelling.
Right.
Dubai police come out saying, no, this is not right. It was slandering. It was this and that. Mm-hmm. She probably went kind of nuts, that would be my guess, but that's just speculation. But they're pretty strict and they're detaining her.
Yeah.
Over here, it'd be like, okay, you know, you used to throw people into jail for a day or something. Or
yeah,
just,
like 2 months is a long time for, yeah, and then you for
move,
yelling.
You move on. Yeah, okay. And so now Angela's...
But maybe it was more than that.
Because so. I want to go there and I'd like to see the big buildings. And Angela's had concerns from the beginning because of how women are treated and it's an Islamic country and et cetera, et cetera. But you actually pulled up
yeah, I just think
the website.
It's just... there's this...
There's strikes going against Angela visiting Dubai with me.
Okay, so in the UK,
possibly next year,
there's actually an organization called Detained in Dubai.
This
organization supports tourists stuck in UAE. Hmm. And I'm thinking, how many tourists really get stuck there?
I don't know. Is it the same amount?
We need to have an organization that's just specifically
an organization now for kids that burnt their, you know, selves on the pavement in Phoenix. You know, all the headlines all week have been people are falling and burning themselves. And the whole time I'm just like, how many people? Yeah. You never hear 18 people, 800 people, 8,000 people, or one person.
How many
people
really get detained there? But there must be enough so that they need an organization to help these people.
Maybe they got a grant and there's three people. I don't know. Look up how many people are detained in Dubai every year. You know, I mean, it's just what we said last hour. Just know where you're going. And Angela's like, I know where I'm not going. So it's all good. I mean, I will be looking out over the blue water, staying in one of the tallest buildings in the world while you're in, I don't know, where are you going to be?
I don't know.
Go enjoy something else. The guys will go there, I guess. Is there any rules I should? I better look up some laws.
I know, you better like do your own research.
I'm gonna be regretting all this. It's gonna be like Angela's gonna be doing the show from like Greece or something, saying help my husband.
I'm gonna go to one of those islands down there. And,
like a give, send, go. What is that fund?
GoFundMe.
Not GoFundMe, but the other one that doesn't steal. You know.
Yeah.
That if you're conservative, you don't have to worry about your money gets. Mm-hmm. Was it the truckers? Did that happen?
Yeah, yeah.
Give, send, go.
They wouldn't give it
to
them or something.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Let's talk. Should Angela go to Dubai? With our teenage daughters. Or should I go to Dubai? Would you go to Dubai? Pull up and look at the buildings. How could you not want to go see that? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Let's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. All right. You get a rock chip in your windshield. Remember to always call Diamond Auto Glass first. That's what Angela and I have done for years because we travel a lot. And I mean, driving around Northern Arizona just by itself, you're going to get that chip in your windshield. And you're like, okay, I can live with it. Don't live with it. Go to Diamond Auto Glass on 4th Street in Flagstaff. They can fill that thing before it spreads out, and then you need a whole new windshield. And don't call your insurance company. Call Diamond Auto Glass direct. You call your insurance company. A lot of them use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and then where are they going to route you? I mean, this is a common sense what's going to happen. That may cause delays. Go to Diamond Auto Glass directly. Call Diamond Auto Glass directly, just like my family's done. 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140. Or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Okay, let's move on. We've probably had enough of Dubai, right?
Yeah.
And I've been kind of doing my what's the media hyping today. Well, they're preparing the generators, apparently, for the second day in a row. Largest U.S. power grid declares emergency alert for second day. This is an article from Zero Hedge. I pulled this morning. PJM Interconnection LLC declared another energy emergency alert level 1 through today. Excessive heat advisories and warnings cover much of PJM's grid across 13 states from Illinois to New Jersey with over 65 million customers. Quote, PJM has issued these alerts to help prepare generators for the onset of intense heat, the grid operator said. These are probably like generators, like their windmill solar power generators.
Yeah, I was going to say, most of the generators use gas, right?
Diesel. It's going to be probably a diesel generator. These are big. So when the you-know-what hits the fan, you-know-what you use fossil fuels. Yeah. I mean, it's not, hey, go adjust the windmill out there.
Yeah.
You just need to turn it a little bit or hey, Angela, go hold the solar power panel that direction there. Yeah. And don't forget to
put on your mask
because it's boiling out there, according to the UN Secretary General. That was last hour's big thing. you know, is that it's global boiling is happening. So you won't want to go outside. So yeah, it's hot. So, but they're firing up the diesel generators. That's mm-hmm. the backup plan. So, this is the second day the largest U.S. grid operator declared a level one emergency on Thursday. PJM's preliminary peak load was around 148,000 megawatts and is forecasted to peak at around 155,000 megawatts later today. So I guess this already happened. Let's look that up. Did it go blackout? I'm sure if we just pull up any news site, it'd show. I don't see blackout in the Northeast, so I assume they made it through, right? Because yeah. what is yeah. it back there? Is it 7, 8 o'clock?
6,
7. 7, 7 o'clock, 8? Something like that. We don't, yeah. It's getting to be close to being dark. So, interesting. I wonder if there's more people, obviously, on planet Earth now than when we were kids, right? But I think I hit on this with Rob Wilson yesterday. When I was a kid in southern New York State, I lived there till I was like 14 years old. My family moved to Arizona in 1990, and it was just hot all summer long. It was, especially mm-hmm. getting into the dog days of August, mm-hmm. and it was so humid, and we had a dehumidifier, and it's just like you're emptying it all the time. It's like, how is this even humanly possible? Mm-hmm. And you're just sweating all the time. No air conditioning. Nobody had air conditioning. Nobody had air conditioning, yeah. right? So you got two factors, I think, going on here. Maybe it's a warm summer, right? But these things can handle all that. But how much more electricity are we using maybe than back when we were kids? Because mm-hmm. nobody had an AC unit,
right?
Or very few people. What did you have in your room? A lamp?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a little clock radio or something. Yeah. You didn't. A lot of people didn't have TV, believe it or not. I mean, some people had them, but a lot of people didn't have TVs in their room, especially kids. You weren't charging a laptop, an iPad, an iPhone, and a watch times 4 or 5 people per household. Mm-hmm. You know, you just didn't have all this stuff pulling.
Yeah, we're just using a lot more electricity. The demand wasn't yeah. there.
Even power equipment. I'm thinking back to my dad's tools back in the day. You had a drill. Okay. You were plugging in when you used it. There wasn't a bunch of battery packs always yeah, plugged ready. In, charging up. Mm-hmm. You didn't have an electric lawnmower. You certainly didn't have an electric car.
Right.
I mean, that was just the stuff of fairy tales at that point. So, now we're just using a lot more. It's kind of like the water in the Southwest. Everybody's mm-hmm. like, we're running out of water. There's less water. It's like, it's about the same amount of water. It's just, we're drawing a lot more. So it kind of brings me back to the people who whine about everything while they're using their devices. And, you know, you get what's that kid in Europe, Greta Thunberg or whatever, who just got kicked out of some place and for protesting. But you know they're organizing it on social media. You know they're using the technology, but I don't think they connect that all of that is drawing the electricity and using the resources.
And the same old thing of like, you know, they fly in planes just the same as the next person. Yeah. And people are like, well, maybe we just shouldn't be vacationing, you know, halfway across the world. And that's just too much, you know.
There's pollution. A movement. There's a movement. Yeah,
I know.
So the new thing.
So it's like, well, you know, you first.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what my answer is to a lot of stuff is, you know.
They want you in your 15-minute city where you just stay right in your zone.
And the guy from the UN that's like, the air is unbreathable. I bet you he's jetting all over the place when he needs to, right?
Yeah, yeah.
This conference or that. And he's no more important than, you know, the next guy.
Oh, he buys carbon offsets. I mean, some poor villager was displaced in Africa so they could plant trees and do carbon offsets.
It's not working.
Yeah, what Angela's referring to is United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres. The best UN general was Boutros Ghali, because when you have two first names, that's just awesome. Remember that? That was like back in the 80s. It's like from South America somewhere. You remember him?
Yeah.
I don't remember what he did. I just remember the name still after all these years. He's saying that we've entered the era of global boiling has arrived. The air is unbreathable. The heat is unbearable. And the level of fossil fuel profits and climate inaction is unacceptable. And the level of absolute BS is astronomical, I would add.
Yeah.
You know, so
that's what I'm saying is that he's probably using just as much as the next person.
Yeah.
And I don't care if they buy carbon offsets or whatever. I think that whole thing's a sham. But
it is a sham.
I mean, you know, when all those people that are saying that stop flying in their private jets and stop, you know, living high.
Well, yeah,
for this or that, and I got to go here, I got to go there. No, I have to.
If
no, You don't.
No, you don't. You can video conference in this. You don't need to go
and
to.
And maybe some of them do. I'm sure that some people really
Some
made
of them
a change.
Do, but I'm sure there's the annual convention in the super resort in the middle of Africa where everybody's poor and they show up with their Mercedes and they live a bunch of, you know, luxurious life. And then they
and
go
they
out.
And they have the AC down
to
65.
And then they go out for 2 hours or 1 hour probably to the poor village where they've helped install a well. And they're there with a golden shovel for the photo op. And then they go back and they snack on, you know, imported food and the AC is set to 68 degrees. I wonder if I went and visited Boutros Ghali at the top of the UN building there, if the temperature is, you know, 93 degrees and he's got the windows open.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's not actually his name. But, you know, I wonder. So anyway, love your thoughts. Talk with, do you wonder about these things? Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Yeah, but when it hits the fan, you get the generators going.
Of course, yeah.
You pump the diesel
in. The old standby.
The old standby is.
Then it's okay. Because if you get the slightest bit uncomfortable, well, we need to, you know, make everyone comfortable. We couldn't possibly make it through a couple of hours of, you know, a little hotter than you'd like. Nope, we got to do the AC and get the generators going so everyone can have their cush AC going.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I'm amazed when I go down to Phoenix and it's like I'm cold.
Yeah.
You know, you go into like a store or something.
Air conditioned.
It's like, yeah, we got an energy problem, but the store is like, I need to wear a sweater inside. And we've been in commercial.
It happens here in Flagstaff.
Yeah, we've been in commercial real estate for a long time and I get calls from people. It's too cold in here, or it's too this, or it's too hot. And it's like, well, don't wear a suit today.
Yeah,
it's 94 degrees out. I mean, I know you want to dress professional.
Open the
but
windows when you leave.
Yeah,
at
it's
night.
It's just like there's nobody wants to like be inconvenienced, but they do want to make a stink about things all the time.
Right.
And
drive up in their EV and or their Prius or whatever. And, you know, but yet they need the AC working at all times or,
yeah,
you know.
It's sealed up. Yeah, exactly. I wonder if someone was, this would be a good science fiction movie. Now we've got all these electric cars. Let's say it's dun, dun, dun. It's the year 2043 and there's energy shortages and there's like all these old electric cars. It's like, kind of like Cuba. It's like electric cars from the mid 2020s. And they're all driving around and they have like generators, like electric gas generators, like duct taped on the back. So they're driving down the road, but they're using a generator and they're like, oh, I got an electric car. I'm saving the earth, you know, something like that. And it could very well happen where we don't have enough
That's
electricity.
That's why I think that the Toyota style with the Prius and the other combo hybrid ones they've got should have been pushed harder because then you can use both. You can charge it. It recharges on its own. There's no plugging in and you use gas, but you get like 60 miles a gallon and that's great.
Well,
you know, what's wrong with that? Why haven't that been pushed? Then you don't have the draw on the electrical grid, like all the EVs are doing now.
I think that Toyota is still pushing. They still have a lot of
hybrids. Well, I know they are,
hybrids,
but I meant
but
like
the others, why did they
know,
go
why
to
why is the news never talks about getting a hybrid?
Yeah.
Why can't you just do that?
Yeah. What?
What's wrong with that?
Isn't it about, okay, if I can have a car that gets instead of 20 miles per gallon I'm getting because it switches from electric motor to a gas motor, like the, I'm not a big fan of the Prius, just the style.
They have other ones.
But they
though,
have other ones that have the same technology. And it's like, if I can get 50 miles per gallon, how do you care? Why do you care how I get there? And another thing here, because you're going to see less and less of the big SUVs and more of those dopey crossovers. I just don't like them. I'm sorry. To me,
you
it's just
like saying crossover.
These cars are like they've transitioned between a sedan and a truck,
yeah,
an SUV, and they just can't make up their mind. They're just like right there in the middle.
No, those work for a lot of people.
I know. So many of you own them, and you're like, stop picking on my crossover. Maybe I just had a bad experience in Hawaii with the GM. What was that thing called?
Terrain.
Yeah, oof,
that
man.
One wasn't good.
I want to sketch
Well, I know that the hybrids, they still use gas and they still use the fossil fuels. And I understand that the, you know, people want to get rid of all the fossil fuels. And so they can't possibly ever say anything good about the hybrid because you'd still be using
that's
it.
Still utilizing.
But you're cutting back a lot. You'd be using less if a lot of people were to switch to that.
Yeah. Why do we have to be so
back
extreme?
On the gas.
Why do we have to be so extreme?
Yeah. Why does it have to be one or the
why
other?
Why do we have to go from gas vehicles, diesel gas vehicles to all electric? Why, where's the missing link in between there?
Yeah.
Why not just say, okay, let's see how we can transition the best we can,
right,
and get there incrementally. The government cannot do this stuff. The government cannot, right, they're not going to make your life better. You know, anytime they meddle, they don't know what they're doing. I can't stress this enough, how many of these people I've been around over the years and how incompetent so many of them are. And I'm not trying to be mean, because I would be incompetent in a lot of areas too. If you put all of your faith in me, if you said, okay, Jeff's going to be dictator and he's going to dictate the top down, our economy, yeah, everything.
Everything.
I know little about so much. There's so much, yeah, I don't know out there.
But, no one can know.
But they get, yeah, into these positions of power and they feel like they have to have the answer for everything. They have to have a solution to every perceived, sometimes real, sometimes perceived problems out there. So they come up with bad ideas. They don't even know. They get this delusion, you know, of greatness, a lot of them. The egos fly with these people. There's already some kind of ego thing going on to get into that position. For the most part, there's, mm-hmm, some people that are like the total, I just want to do this, I want to do good, I want to get out, I want to just, you know, mm-hmm, but a lot of these people are egomaniacs. Some of them are sociopaths, to be quite honest with you. A lot of, mm-hmm, these people who get to, especially the higher up positions. So they've got to have an answer for everything. They can never be wrong, and they will never admit they're wrong,
no,
either. So if you think government's going to make your life better on any of these choices, it's not. And if you're against the big evil corporations or whatever, at least there's some sort of profit motive there, and they have to do things in an efficient manner, in a normal free market, at least. We have a, yeah, lot of crony capitalism that, yeah, goes on now, of course. But in a normal free capitalist market, you can only make really stupid business decisions for so long before you actually go bankrupt, if there's not the government backing you up. So for the car manufacturers, they're going down this road of electrification because they've got the promises of the government. The government's not going to let them fail because the government wants the electrification. In a true capitalist society, there's no way you would be losing billions of dollars on this before you say, scrap the line.
We can't do it.
I'm not doing this. And yeah, a company like Toyota would look at it and say, we're selling a lot of Priuses. The hybrid thing's working.
Yeah.
So that's the model to go. And the other manufacturers would follow their suit and start imitating that. Mm-hmm. In a normal capitalist, yeah, society, because they'd be like, I don't want to go full. And we
would cut back on the fossil fuels by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, just
over
by
what
doing
we're
that.
Using today.
But they don't want
and
that.
And then there's no drain on the power grid.
Yeah.
I know the batteries have to get replaced, and yeah, I know that that's an issue also, but at least you're not having to plug it in and drain the electric every night.
Yeah, part of me thinks that some of them, the ones that aren't totally incompetent, the ones that they know that this electrification is going to be an utter train wreck, and they're like, well, good, then nobody will have a car, and they won't be able to charge the car, so they just stay at home,
which is like,
exactly. Yeah. I want them to stay at home watching Netflix with their mask on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's truly what I think some of these people would like to see. All right. I love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. You know, waiting for a recession to become official is not a very good time to make some constructive changes to your portfolio. Now, Glenn Least and his team at WT Wealth Management, they know that predictions about what the markets might do are often wrong, and it's better to prepare than to predict. Glenn can help you strategically position your portfolio based on where you are in your financial life instead of making emotional decisions. I tell you this all the time. I don't tell you who to invest with. I don't even tell you how to invest. I tell you what I do, and you make your own decisions, educate yourself. And I think part of educating yourself is talking to folks, as many people as possible, especially people like Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management. And give him a call and get a complimentary consultation. See if he's the right fit for you. I think you'll find that he shares a lot of the same values that you have as well. Give them a call at 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management at 928-225-2474.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
All right, Rob, you got a couple of cool things going on out there at Timberline Firearms and Training. July, a great July special.
Celebrating our independence with two big specials at Timberline Firearms. First one, you can shoot for as long as you like. No more 1 hour range limit. So
24 hours.
Well, there's always fine print in our normal operating hours on our normal days that we're open on the day of the purchase.
Yeah, okay.
You can shoot for as long as you like. And we encourage people to practice and be good, safe, responsible firearms owners. And then we've got safes. safes with Liberty Safe. We got a big delivery of Liberty Safes in just last week. A large variety available for you to select from. And if you bring in cash, you save 3% automatically.
Okay. That's
not to mention that you're only paying county sales tax instead of Flagstaff.
I still got a gift card. I got to get out.
Please
there.
Do. Come yeah. on out.
And you do those gift cards too. So if people yep. are looking like present for anything coming up for a loved one or whoever, or me.
A great way to, yeah, to make sure your loved one gets something they like, get them a card so they can come out and pick it out themselves.
Okay, cool. So July range time when you go in there that same day, stay as long as you want and get your practice in.
Good. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Sounds good. Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. All right, welcome back. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Your comments always welcome. Let's see, what do we still got left to wrap up on in the week? I've got a report on inflation here. It's good news. Mm-hmm. Inflation is down according to the government. So have you been to the store lately? Has everything gotten cheaper?
No.
I like those Snyder's pretzels, which is sometimes hard to find.
Yeah, it's a box of sourdough hard pretzels.
Well, they're $4 now.
That's on sale. That's a good price.
That's you can find it at $5 if you. They used to be $3, $2.50.
Yeah,
something like that. Before
it's hard to find, and so then it's like you got to pay what it costs when you find them.
Yeah, so I've got information on the inflation. When we come back, we'll hit on that. What's this? And this one's kind of crazy. This is Salt River tubing. I've never done that.
Yeah, me neither.
And I don't know. I just always
surprising living in Arizona as long as we have. You have, and I've been here my whole life. I've never done it. I'm just not interested in doing it.
Yeah, it seems.
I always heard it was fun.
I don't like going to places like that.
Sometimes it just becomes like too touristy.
Yeah, there's
too
so many.
Popular.
It's like the last thing I want to see when I'm tubing down a river is another human being. Yeah, that sounds snobby, but I mean, okay, I'll see you guys. Yeah, but I don't know. Okay, maybe one or two, you know, but if there's like a whole group of people and they're, you know,
like hundreds of people
drinking and stuff, and it's just like, to
parties.
Me, that's like one of the worst things I could be out there doing, especially I want to get out into nature and it's like, where do I go where there's just not a lot of
people? Sometimes things become too popular and just there's just too many people doing it and it's crowded. You can't get parking or whatever.
Well, we'll share. There's a ban there on something. I'll tell you what it is. Kind of surprising. I don't even know if you could guess what it is. if you break your cell phone, your smartphone, and you're like, maybe I just don't want one anymore, and I'm just going to go dark, and you can leave a message on the old. I wonder if we can buy one of those, like the
answering machine.
Yeah, the old antique shop at this point, where you have the tape, and it's just like, hey, I'll get to you when I get back. It could be days, and people just patiently waited. We've lost patience, but. Mm-hmm. I know you still, people need smartphones to survive in this society and to interact with other human beings while they're floating down that river right next to each other and texting each other, things like that. But anyway, if you need to fix your smartphone, go to Just Wireless, two locations in Flagstaff, right across from the Flagstaff Mall. Right now, by the way, they have some great deals going on accessories. I think you're talking like up to half off on some of their great accessories. Both locations, their other locations right there on Milton Avenue, right there by that Cold Stone Creamery. You can get a great line of refurbished phones. So Zach and his team at Just Wireless take phones when you turn them in, and they get phones. They refurbish them, rehash them, get them working good. And then it's good for the environment, and it's good for, it saves you a bunch of money as well. Also, they'll repair your phone, your existing phone, if you got a cracked screen, charging port problems. One time I went in there, it was just like lint in there.
Yeah.
And they cleaned that out.
Well, my mom got a new battery in hers.
A new battery, so they'll take care of all that. At Just Wireless, two locations in Flagstaff, your hometown cell phone guru. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show. You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
All right, welcome back. Angela and I are wrapping up a really busy week. with all kinds of very pertinent information that we feel you should have. No, inflation, this is an important one. Inflation, they're saying, is down, CNBC, and by measures it has slowed down, and we suspected it would when it reached, what, 9.4% official inflation. This is these are government numbers. So it's cooling. June, year over year, Federal Reserve put this out this morning. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index. People think of these. The PCEPI. It excludes food and energy. There's multiple CPI scales. Some have food and energy, some don't. They like to exclude food and energy on most of these because they say that that's the most volatile thing. I'm like, yeah, duh.
That's the thing we all need.
Yeah, but what's your biggest expenses out there? I mean, shelter is probably number one, and a lot of these will exclude shelter as well, but mm-hmm. shelter is your mm-hmm. biggest expense. And then after that, probably health insurance. I mean, I guess you don't have to have that. You need shelter. Mm-hmm. You need food. So that would be the next biggest one.
Yeah, food is
and
a big
energy,
one.
When you're talking electricity to heat and cool your home, refrigerate your goods and get yourself to work, gas in a vehicle. So mm-hmm. they exclude most of that.
Yeah.
What good is it then? You know, but according
that's why
to them,
it's just, I didn't even pay attention to those numbers.
I know, but it's Friday and this is what I got. 2.2% down from the previous month. So called core PCE is what they call it, rose 4.1% from a year ago compared to the estimate, which they were thinking it was going to come in at 4.2%. Annual rate was the lowest since September of 2021. It marked a decrease from 4.6% pace. So it's still excluding food and energy at 4.2%. So play that out. If that continued for 10 years, mm-hmm. you know, you're nearly getting close to 50% price increases or right. devaluation of your currency, however you want to look at that. I looked up the Shadow Stats is it's run by a guy who looks and he does the calculations based off of the way the government used to do it, like prior to, I think it was 1980 or 82 or something like that, when they started doing all kinds of adjustments and they started supplementing things and then your car. It's really not, even though you got to buy a $70,000 car now because it has, 4,000 microchips and this and that, it's not really more because it's so much better because mm-hmm. you got 15 airbags yeah. and it might drive itself. Yeah. So yeah, it's better, but I could probably be okay with the 1992 style Nissan Sentra with a couple airbags that got me from point A to point B with, 38 miles per gallon or 35 yeah. or whatever the heck it was.
I know that's what I was wondering is all the new safety features. Has it helped the auto deaths and things like that or accident rates?
Yeah. I don't know, but when you get down to it, I was looking at trucks recently before I did get my Titan back and, I'm good with just driving that into the ground because the cost of the trucks, if I were to get a comparable truck and I need a big truck that can tow and this and that, although the Titan, the name is Titan, it isn't really a Titan anymore because there's so many yeah. trucks, they just get bigger and bigger and more complex. But I looked at some of the newer, like Tundras, Titans, Chevy, Ford, F-150, F-250, et cetera, and they're so much bigger. There's so much more components. There's so much more cost involved. And even your cars nowadays, you got a lot of vehicles have a huge, screen, mm-hmm. have all kinds of tech in there. The point I'm trying to make is the government will tell you, even though you are spending a lot more, it's not more because it's so much better. You're getting better quality.
More
it's worth
stuff,
yeah, this and that. It's made your life so much better. But I think we have to ask ourselves the question of, would the 1992, little sedan, if they were still making that same one, if they still offered that as something, would I be better off? Because all I really need is to get my kids to school. And I'd like reliable transportation, which they were reliable, just mm-hmm. as reliable as today, to get from point A to point B. I don't have that option. So it's mm-hmm. it's a stupid point when they substitute things or when they adjust things because I don't have that option to buy the old car.
Right. Like maybe I don't need the backup camera and I don't need, the warning on the blind spot for every time a car approaches your blind spot.
Maybe I don't even need power. Hey, I can get a good, reliable car with a good engine that's efficient, that has basic safety features, maybe some airbags in the front, a couple side airbags, seat belts, a horn, some rearview mirrors. You know, a heating and cooling system. I mean, back in the, back then, it's, you know, it wasn't that long ago that AC was not on everything. I mean, how many cars back in the, you know, early 90s, 80s, 70s, you didn't have AC. Now, I wouldn't want to drive around much of Arizona without the AC, but I'm just saying, would we be better off if we had some more affordable options rather than indebting everybody because, hey, I can't get a $25,000 car. I have to have a $50,000 car, and it has to have... How would I get to the place I'm going to without GPS? You know, and you just like we've advanced a lot, but then we've lost a lot in the same regard. And then people are just struggling. Because good luck. I hear that used cars are coming, finally starting to adjust a little bit. Because I was looking at somebody used trucks and I was just like, really? 150,000 miles and... You know, this is what I get. But anyway, back to
and the selling features. You know, if you talk to someone, they're you know, well, they can plug in the back seat and all the charging and it, it you know, we got refrigerated cooler in here and we got it's like all the bells and whistles is incredible.
Yeah, which is fine.
I mean, some people want that. Yeah,
if you have
the
money,
I don't need three charging ports in the back seat for kids to charge their devices.
But most people have kids. They all have charging devices. And I know. It goes back to what I was talking about.
But I don't need that.
I understand. Yeah. But you, good luck.
I know.
You know, trying to get that option. It was like the company back east, the electric provider, preparing the generators to go because everybody, because so much energy is being used. And the assertion, of course, from the media, and they must have got a memo, everything is climate change. Everything is caused because... We're driving that big vehicle, I guess. The assertion is climate change. And it goes back to what I was saying about everybody's using more electricity. Everybody's using more. So you can't even go in your car anymore without having five charging ports because you know, little Billy can't get across town. You know, little Billy's 4 years old. Doesn't even aware where he's at this point. Like they're driving down the road and doesn't look outside at all.
Yeah.
It goes from the garage to the device in their hands.
Watching
and they're
a
like
movie
watching
or
a,
game
a movie
or something.
Across town. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And I know kids get annoying. We've got three kids.
I know, but our three kids did not have that. And we I mean, there was days where I'd turn the radio up pretty loud so I didn't have to listen to them. But
singing top.
You know what? And then in all that time, Owen would... You know, they were never staring at devices in the back seat. And he basically memorized like the entire city of Flagstaff, all the streets and all the stuff. Because one time we got this map and we unrolled it and he's looking at the map, you know, the flat one. And he's like pointing, oh, well, that's where the doctor's office is. And that's where, you know, the grocery store, Sonic or wherever. And we were like, whoa, we didn't even know he knew that. But he knows where it is on the map. And that's because he pays attention.
Looked out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not anti-technology. We got tons of technology running the show. I have a smartphone, obviously.
No, we're just saying when you drive 5 minutes, you're a pediatrician.
Like, or I'm at the restaurant, and I'm like, you know, sometimes you're like, okay, it's taking a while. But it's like, really, I just watched that kid across the way playing a video game the entire time you're at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that – and then I hate the things that they put on there, the self-pay ones, and there's like, oh, you can – for a while there, they had buy games.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, who would do that? And it's like, really? Do I really – no, can I just pay you? Do I need to enter this in? But anyway, who knows? All right, let's talk about something else here. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Love to hear from you. Send us an email. Let me talk about Desert Gold Exchange real quick before – I get to this story on the Salt River. I've owned and I've always liked to have in my possession, securely stored, I might add, with AI guarded robots. Rob and I were talking about that yesterday. There's a battle going on with AI, and on the battlefield, you're going to see if you don't have the AI assistance, you're going to be in trouble. So you want to get that for your gold and silver too. But if you're going to buy gold and silver, why don't you call Desert Gold Exchange? I've dealt with Justin and his family-run company based right here in Arizona for a couple of years now, and they've done a great job for me. They get it delivered anywhere in the state, really anywhere you want, anywhere they deliver to you all over the country. And I think you're going to find that their pricing is much lower than a lot of places. I want you to put them to the test because they keep their overhead low. They pass the savings on to you. Gold and silver is, wherever you go in the world, it's spot price. And then the commissions and fees are added on because, hey, people got to make a living who are trading this and providing it for you, like Desert Gold Exchange. So they keep those that overhead low. They pass the savings on to you. You get the best pricing out there on physical gold and silver delivered right to you. Call Desert Gold Exchange. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show. Please do that. And ask for their free investors kit as well. You get a lot of great and valuable information there. Desert Gold Exchange, 888-852-4343. That's Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. Yeah, so the Salt River thing, and this is a big Phoenix. Where's that leading into Tempe? Where exactly is it? Where do they connect to the?
Yeah, where do they do the tubing? It's over. Well, I haven't done it's east for sure.
Okay, I'm sure you know,
there's a big canyon over.
I should have looked this from up first.
Between Globe and like the White Mountain area. Okay. So I don't know where the tubing exactly starts, but yeah, it flows in towards the west into the Phoenix area.
Okay. Yeah, it's out like Mesa, past Apache Junction, kind of up there in the northeast outside of the Phoenix area. And you get there and you can tube down. And that's water coming from northern Arizona, obviously. Verde River feeds into the Salt River.
Yeah, at some point. But I think it's over in the White Mountains more.
Oh, okay.
Is where it comes from.
I guess I got to go down there just so I can explain the geography a little better. But a bunch of people go too. But it's 115 and you get a whole bunch of, they're drinking and stuff.
You park down at the end and they bus you up or tram or whatever, you know, shuttle up. However many miles, I don't know how far it is.
Remember when our former Republican governor, Doug Ducey.
Yeah. Oh, no, you can't do that.
He banned tubing on the Salt River because of COVID. So when Ducey comes back in his political career, right now he's working for one of those outside groups that they all go to after they run their political career. Remember that he banned the tubing on the river outside because of COVID, the rental of the tubes. That's how idiotic. He never apologized for that either. I mean, how stupid was that? And we were at the time saying, experts. Yeah. These are the people that are in charge. They're telling you not to go outside because you're going to get COVID on the Salt River. The best thing you could have done was gone out and gotten some sunshine. And had some a good time going down the Salt River. Now, I would not recommend if you get COVID or if you just generally want a healthy life, downing a bunch of marshmallows. Right? I mean, it's just, what is that? No. What is that anyway? Sugar?
It's like a sugar puff? It's basically sugar and that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So attention all tubers. This is from, I don't know. I can't remember which one this was from now. The whoever runs the Salt River area there, some agency, sorry. Starting this weekend, this is from their, from AZ Family, marshmallows will no longer be allowed on Salt SRT property. We are doing this in an attempt to protect our tubers from potential littering citations from law enforcement and protect the beautiful area.
That's the only explanation they offer?
The only one I pulled, there may be a deeper explanation that's probably not worth reading. Yeah, but apparently there's like this tradition of throwing them in the river or something. What? That's what I was reading on AZ Family. It's like some kind of marshmallow. I don't know. Why would you do that? First of all, you don't need to protect me or anybody from littering citations. Yeah. Just give them the citation.
Yeah.
It's like if you got a bag of marshmallows.
Don't litter, first of all.
Yeah, you're throwing
marshmallows. If you do, pay the citation and learn your lesson.
Yeah, if you think it was worth, but I wasn't aware that there was a marshmallow problem.
Neither. It's first I heard.
But yeah, I just enforce it and say, I mean, anytime you come up with these rules and regulations, nobody really follows them anyway. We were in, speaking of marshmallows, we were in Louisiana one time and we did one of those swamp tours, which was really cool. I actually liked Louisiana.
Was fun. Yeah.
And a local guy. You know,
They just load you up on the boat.
He had three fingers.
Yeah.
Because they're like.
They take you through the swamp and they point out all kinds of creatures and turtles and.
And alligators.
Alligators, raccoons.
So what's he pull out?
We saw boars or something.
Yeah, they're like in the mud in the swamp. Yeah, that was gross. Yeah, it was, what time of year was that?
It wasn't like July, maybe.
It was hot. Was it hot? Yeah. I don't remember. Anyway, so the guide, you know, that lives there locally and is like, yeah, there's our swimming hole. There's a rope swing there. Yeah. I was like, I don't know about that.
There's gators in their waters.
I just saw the gators. He whips out a bag of marshmallows.
Yeah.
And the gator comes up, he throws it in his mouth.
Yeah.
And then he's like, pets it on its head, taps it, you know, that's the three fingers. And I'm like, this goes back to the girl in Dubai we were talking about last hour. It's like, even when I'm in another community, like the swamps of Louisiana, I'm a guest, right? Mm-hmm. I'm still a guest there. And part of me is like, is this really good for the alligators?
Yeah, I mean, do they really need to be yeah. eating marshmallows?
But I didn't say anything, really. I just like, yeah. okay, whatever. You know, dude's going to feed the guy. It's not, wouldn't be my choice to feed wild animals marshmallows.
Yeah.
But then thinking about it, it's like the thing could eat the bag and the plastic and the guy and probably be just fine because they've been around a lot longer than yeah. us for sure. All right. Love your thoughts. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Send us comments and back in a minute. Final thoughts.
You're listening to The Jeff Horovitz Show.
Okay, so Salt River Tubing is banning the marshmallows on its buses, ending to Axios Phoenix, a decades-long tradition in an attempt to stop pollution. Somewhere in the early 2000s, they're saying they were suggested bring sunscreen, beer, and marshmallows. Great combo there. The bigger the better. And they would throw them, they float, and then you use them as ammo, and you throw them at the rafters and stuff. So it's like a marshmallow war, is what I'm guessing. Which is just...
I don't like stuff really, like that. It yeah. just seems so pointless.
Again,
and
I like to...
silly
when
to
I go
me.
Down a river or any kind of water area, I would prefer not to see people or marshmallows.
Even if it was just our family... It just doesn't seem fun to me to tag other people with a marshmallow. I don't know. Maybe it is.
Well, no, okay. I could see, we have the Nerf wars or whatever. What are those things? Those little.
Yeah, but when you're trying to tube and you're having fun in the water, whatever, I just don't see it.
Is that the
it.
Thing yeah. you absolutely want to do? I don't know. Have fun out there.
No
or
marshmallows.
Throw marshmallows
though.
Or something. I don't know. Roast them, but you can't have an open fire.
They're only
places.
Good roasted.
With chocolate and graham crackers. That is really good.
I like them roasted, and that's it.
Be back Monday. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast as well. Appreciate everybody who's done that. Talkwithjeff.com. Do that. Have fun out there. See you soon. Take care.
This is the Jeff Horovitz Show.